Okay, so just like last time, this podcast is a little messed up where it sounds like I'm interrupting or Deontay's interrupting or we're over talking each other at certain points in the podcast. I'm not sure. That's an anchor problem, I guess, when we were recording together. So that is not us obviously interrupting each other, whatever. It's because of Anchor. When we were recording, it messed up the audio. I guess it messed up the syncing or something. So I'm like 2 seconds ahead at some points. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know what's up with that. Also, this talk is PG-13. So if you are not into that type of talk, or you don't want to hear that type of stuff in your ears while you're driving or something, I would consider not listening. Or if you just did not want to be that into that personal life of the Jabari and Deontay, again, do not listen. If you know me in any way, where what you hear now will change your entire opinion due to knowing the love life of a Jabari, again, do not listen. Okay, that's about it.
Okay, hello. So we just started the podcast now, and we're going to be talking about what we talked about 3 seconds ago, but now it's going to be a podcast that came out a week later. So let me do it. Hello, this is Barnes. So today we're going to be talking about stories, I guess. So I guess the story of the first 3 days. So this was in my peak era where I was, because I did go on a couple dates actually that whole year, that technical senior year of college, even though that was my 4 out of 5 years, but technically that was the senior year. I was growing my hair out because, oh wait, let me go all the way back actually, because now you forgot. I gotta tell you the story of Gucci Douche. So okay,
Oh
so
yeah.
junior year, I'm a CS. I was a CS major. Well, I graduated with CS, but junior year of CS, which is computer science, I was top of my game, good grades, happiness, banging it. People look at me, I'm like, so, I'm smart, and they're like, wow, he is. But then that junior freaking year ruined me. It just turned me to crap. I became a fool. I forgot literally everything. Failed my first classes, where I had to retake the classes and stuff. And that's the year where I met the Gucci douche. So it all started like this. I walk into class. I'm like, okay, the usual CS majors. Cringe, 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 cringe. Where am I going to sit? So I'm not sitting next to some dude who's going to be freaking some melon, like some musk, freaking breathing hard, freaking talking to himself. I got to figure out. I got to figure out where I'm going to sit. And then I look up. I see beauty, true beauty in the back. A girl in CS. I'm like, whoa. There's a girl in computer science. That's the rarest of the rare. And she was Chinese. So that's, of course, that's the only way you're gonna, at least at my school, back in my day, those were the only type of girls that were in CS, people who were Chinese. So she was Chinese, I guess Chinese American, because she could speak, she wasn't like, from China, but she's Chinese American.
Yeah.
And I saw her, but I was a little puss. So I sat in the front seat instead of in the back. I sat in the very front row because, I'm a nerdy dude back then. And I was like, oh man, I gotta stay smart. So I sat in the front row. That's when it all fell apart because I broke that streak of staying in the front row and listening to class. Because then I, in my back of my mind, I was like, I gotta sit next to her before all the thirsty dudes do it before me. So I slowly, each day of the class, so it was 2 times a week I had the class. And there are 4 rows. So each day,
Was it like a Tuesday,
Tuesday,
Thursday
Thursday
class?
class. So she was
Gotcha.
like 4 rows back from the front row. So every week I kind of moved a little back, 1 row. And then I moved back a little bit, 1 row. Then I moved to her,
Slowly but
slowly. And then I
surely.
got to that 4th row and I sat right next to her. And I was like, man,
Oh,
this
man.
she won't notice. She won't notice. Because I made it seem like, oh man, I can't find my seat. And luckily, the person in the front row was super cringe. Like, he actually annoyed the entire class. So luckily I had a reason to seemingly move back, kind of, if she did notice I was moving back each week, suspiciously.
So his annoying nature helped you out. Yeah, he kind of
helped me out. Like, if she was, like, suspicious, that would have helped me out. So I moved back each time, and I finally sat next to her. And I made it less suspicious because I was like, oh, man, I wonder where I could sit. I guess I'll sit here. And I sat next to her. And, you know.
You know what you should have done? You should have, like, walked in, saw her sitting down, smiled, and started walking over there like Nick from Jimmy Neutron, threw your backpack on the table, said, I'm sitting here now.
I should have, but the should have is the moral of that story. Should have. So, basically, yeah. I sat next to her, and then I was like, man, I need a way to talk to her. So I would slowly, like, you know, give stupid questions like, oh, what did he say again? Oh, when is the project due? Oh, where's this? Like, you know, simple kind of questions at the end of class or something. Or maybe talk about the class a little bit.
You're lucky she had tolerance. What? You're lucky she had tolerance.
I was probably annoying. And then, finally, that class was getting hard. Like, it was actually hard. So I was like, okay, how can I get her to talk more? I was like, oh, let me do a study group, of course. And she was actually my first study group ever in college. But I was like, okay, I went to ask her. I was like, do you want to be in a study group? Because this class is kind of hard. And of course, I didn't do it like that because back then I was a little punk. So I probably just sat at all.
You were shaking in your boots.
Study with me. And then I was like, oh, crap.
Can you be in the study group?
And then I was like, oh, crap. I probably sound like a creep. Because I'm some random black dude asking this Chinese girl if she wants to be in a study group. And I sound thirsty. So I was like, and I went to the guy next to her. I was like, do you want to be in a study group too? And then he was like, oh, sure. And then she, because she also agreed. And then I was like, okay, I need to add someone else so I don't sound thirsty. So it's not just what's one-on-one. So I asked the guy next to her if he wanted to be in a study group. He was also Asian. I think he was probably Korean or something. Korean, Japanese. I think it was Japanese. I don't know. He was Americanized, though, so it wasn't, like, straight up off the boat from Korea. But he was like, okay, I'll join, too. And, of course, he joined because the cute girl joined. But it was a good thing because that guy was, like, the smartest dude ever. He actually carried that study group because he was the one teaching us. But then I asked him for their numbers and everything, and we picked out a time. Then a day later, before the study session happens, she was like, oh, can I bring in another friend? And I was like, okay. But in my mind, I was like, no, the freaking God. That means she doesn't feel comfortable with us. So she brought in another friend. He was in the class too, but he happened to be in two of her classes. And this guy was straight from Korea. Mm-hmm. He was pretty cool, though. He's a pretty cool guy. So he was straight from Korea. And so we had this whole study group thing going, which is pretty cool. I got to know the girl. I got to, the two dudes were actually pretty cool. But, you know, back then, I was a little punk. And I was like, oh, crap. These guys are competition. So I was like, oh, no. Because at the same time, I didn't want them to be in the study group. But I was like, that dude's really smart. And the other dude makes her more comfortable to stay. So I'm like, oh, crap. I need these guys completely in the study group. So basically, it turned out that I wasn't sure if she had a boyfriend. Because sometimes there was a dude waiting for her. And I was like, that's probably her boyfriend. But she never brought it up, I don't think. Maybe she did. Maybe that was the thing that broke my heart. But something she never... I was always like kind of sure. I'm not sure if she had a boyfriend or not. Not that I was going to ask her out ever. Because I was a little punk back then. But so I tried talking to her more and more. And then certain things she did made me more confused. Because like when we were in class... She would slightly, like, after this whole study group thing, so we all kind of knew each other a little bit, she would kind of lean against me with her shoulder, like, just a little bit. But enough where it's, like, definite contact where she's, like, kind of leaning. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, I don't know if she's doing that on purpose. But, like, looking back, I'm like, that's kind of sus if she wasn't doing it on purpose. Because she's, like, full-blown kind of leaning on my shoulder. So I was, like, a little bit confused about her. I was like, I really like her because she had a lot of the same interests as I did. Like she was ironically like she was kind of a gamer too. So she's kind of a gamer. She was funny. She was cool. She was fun, easy to talk to. She was like in CS. She was smart and all this. She was like literally everything I was looking for. And she was like one of the first girls where I was like, I actually like really, really like this person. And in the end, she started to not go to the study groups. So it's just me and these dudes.
Oh, man.
And the dude, one of the dudes the smart one, I'm pretty sure he only went for that girl too. Or at least that girl made it like more tolerable for him to teach all of us. So when she stopped going, he basically went like, why am I here? And then he kind of stopped going to the study group. He didn't like officially stop going, but you know, it was kind of obvious like he didn't want to do this anymore. So I kind of stopped inviting everyone. And then that turned into, that awkwardness turned into anger. Cause like, God dang it, it's all ruined. So then I did the mistake. I moved away from them. I moved out of that section and I moved to another spot. And that ruined everything. That ruined literally everything. And then I was like, at this point where I was like, I actually do still need help though. I actually do need a study group. So I'm like, oh crap.
This class is still so hard as shit.
I asked people in class, I was like, oh, do you want to be in a study group? And of course, they're freaking CS majors, so they're cringe. So like, and I asked this one dude, I was like, hey, do you want to be in a study group? He's like, I was like, okay. And then I went to another dude. And I was like, do you want to be in a study group? Because this class is kind of denied. That's what he said. He said denied. I was like, what the heck? Like, what did I do? I ruined everything. These are the only cool people in the CS class. And I messed it up with them. So now I'm stuck with these freaking typical CS majors. So I'm sitting there depressed. Full blown, because now I'm like doing bad in this class, and now this class, me doing bad in, is like affecting these other classes. So I'm doing bad in these other classes, and then finally, when the finals came, I had to, I finally like did it. I begged them. I went back into that group chat after no messages for like a month or so. No, it was probably like 2 months, like almost 2 months of no messaging, and I begged. I was like, could you guys please do the study group again? I need this help. And the problem was, because I was walking when I was doing this, because I was talking to some friends, like trying, and they convinced me to finally beg them. And wait a minute. I wonder if that guy's running. Oh my, is that same guy running? Oh, I gotta stay quiet because I don't want him to think I'm like some type of burglar or something. Like, let me just look forward, act like I'm like, come on, I'll pass. Okay. I don't want to. Okay. So finally, because I was like talking to some friends about this while I was typing it, and I was like walking somewhere with them, it was full of typos and errors and everything in that message. So I looked even more pathetic. Like, I'm like, oh, I forgot what the joke was, what I said, because it sounded so stupid. Oh, I said, I just everyone do well. I just want everyone to do well. Because I was saying, like, I just want everyone to do well. Like saying like I want everyone to do well, so can we please do this study group or whatever. But instead, because I'm walking and like nervous and everything, I say like it's all typos, like, oh, can you guys please do this with me? I'm messing up in class. I really want to do well. I just everyone do well. So I probably looked like the most pathetic freaking loser of all time. But they agreed. Probably because of that. So they agreed and we had one last study group. And that actually went so well, that last study session. Like, we learned a lot. Everyone did well. Everyone was glad that the study group got back together, because everyone wasn't doing well, other than the genius dude. Everyone wasn't doing that well. So we all studied together. And I even walked with the girl, like, just alone, me and her, somewhere, because she wanted to get her professor something from Starbucks, like, as a thank you, because she really liked this one professor. And so I walked with her to Starbucks, and we were talking the whole time, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And I learned like a lot about it, like, because it was a one-on-one session kind of thing. So I learned a lot about it. Like, for example, which I thought was a little suspicious, but apparently she's from Chesapeake. I don't know how true that is, but apparently she's from Chesapeake. She went to like one of these other schools in Chesapeake. I probably shouldn't have said the same.
What other school? Like Indian Railway or something?
No, it wasn't like, it wasn't one of the big schools.
No, that's
it wasn't one of the big schools. It was like one of the small school. And the thing is, I'm like, I was like really suspicious back then. So I was like, I wonder if she's a spy or something. Cause I'm like, what? How is she from Chesapeake? Just coincidentally, she's also from Chesapeake. And it was like a part of Chesapeake close to our area. Like maybe Churchland or something. Like somewhere really close. I was like, oh, coincidentally, she lives really close, but she has an accent. But I'm like, okay, maybe it's her parents that gave her, like, because they were like from China. So maybe that she had. She gained her accent from them. But I was like, right. I don't, somebody's a little suspicious. And I was like, and then she moved back. She moved to Nova afterward. So I'm like, all this is a little convenient, but still, that's just me in the background, like being suspicious. But I was like, wow, so we have like a lot in common, kind of thing, even more than I knew. So that made me even more interested to talk to her. And then it turned out we passed our finals. Everyone passed the class, and everyone's all happy. And we went to winter break, and she's sending messages because she went back to China, actually. Well, not back there, but I guess for the winter break, she went to China. And she was showing pictures of, like, this burger or whatever from Burger King or something. And it was, like, a completely black burger or whatever. So she was, like, talking to everyone and stuff. And then I was like, oh, I should send her a personal message. So I sent her a personal message, try talking to her. I get ghosted. So my heart broken. And I ruined everything. It's something so simple. And I was like, why did I? Oh, this was the one. It hurt more because I thought that was truly the one. So that hurt. And then it was her that actually initially got me interested in China in the first place. Because I was like, wow, China isn't some, I don't know, rice field, blah, 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 blah type place. It's actually like, you know, a country.
That's the most racist.
So finally, after I got my precious heart broken, that whole spring semester, I couldn't get her off my mind. I couldn't get her off my mind for a second, whole spring semester. And then I was finally like, okay, I need to change something. So I'm going to start using Tinder to finally get back. To finally, like, you know, find someone like her. And that was when I first started using Tinder. And it was all because of her. Where I started, like, finally trying to not chase after girls, but, you know, trying to have, you know, actually take an initiative.
Yeah, pursue.
Yep. So all it takes is that first heartbreak for you to pursue. But then, the moral of that story, though, is I wish back then that I was a little more forward. Like, I wasn't always waiting for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, I don't know if she has a boyfriend or not. Like, I should have asked. Like, what was the worst that could have happened if I asked? Or when I was like, I should have tried to hang out with her before the semester ended, just to see if she even wanted to hang out. Because there are those, like I was saying, that whole leaning the shoulder against. Like, I should have not acted on it in class, but I should have like sent her a message and be like, oh, do you want to hang out sometime or something like that, just to see, because who knows, maybe she did have a boyfriend, she just wasn't, it was like already at its ending point or something, like she was getting ready to break up or something, who knows. Who knows, but I wish I acted on that more. But
dang, man,
I guess the lucky thing is a whole year later, that was when the Tinder stuff started popping off finally. Because ironically, the reason why I grew my hair out, because remember how I said I couldn't get her off my mind at all? Yeah. The reason I grew my hair out was because I knew she was a CS major. So I was like, if she's ever in my class again, I don't want her to recognize me. So I need to grow my hair out so she will not know who I am. Even though you would know, but that was just in my mind. Like, oh man, if I grew my hair out, she might not recognize. Because that was back when I had like the super buzz cut. So I was like, okay, I need to grow my hair out. But luckily, that helped too, because I guess girls liked me more when I grew my hair out because they didn't like that buzz cut thing. And then
probably the best reason I've heard for growing your hair out.
That's actually why I started wearing, well, I got my glasses because I kind of, my vision is not perfect. It's pretty good, but it's not perfect.
I have perfect vision.
Like, I can read pretty far away. Like, I don't need my glasses. It just makes my vision super vision. Like, where I can see stuff super far. But I wore the glasses also because I'm like, okay, people won't even recognize me at all now. But still, when I grew my hair out, I started using Tinder again. I didn't use it that summer, but when I got back in school, I started using it again. And I started getting some matches, actually. I was like, whoa, I'm getting some matches for once, because I updated my pictures with my grown out hair and stuff. And that was when I went on my first date. You know the story of the first date. That one I messed up.
Yeah.
I'll just do a quick overview of that first date I ever had. So, ironically, this was still because in North Virginia there's a lot more Asian. So, of course, a lot of my matches are going to be more Asian.
Mm-hmm.
But she was Vietnamese, or Vietnamese heritage, and we went on this date just to go to Panera Bread or something at this one place. And I was suspicious when I first matched her, because I was like, she looks kind of young, because she's short and she's Asian or whatever, so she looks really young, and she's 18. And then I learned that she's in high school. So I'm like, oh! But I was like, oh, this is my first date too. So what do I do? What do I do? So I was like, okay, I'm going to go on a date still, but I'm going to ask for an ID. and I freaking did. I was like, but because she also paid for my meal, which I couldn't believe. She paid for my meal.
I remember this story.
Yeah, so she
paid. Wait. Is this the one like where you got lost or she got lost?
No, I got lost. Because I never, I yeah, was you got, in that okay. area before. So I got lost. And then I finally found her. It's a short, super short girl. And so we go to Panera Bread. And she was like, oh, what do you want? I was like, I've never been here before. And I was like, oh, I'll order this. And it happened to be pretty expensive. Like, I mean, not like expensive, but you know, that thing was like $10. And she paid for my meal. I was like, oh.
Wait, yours alone was $10?
What?
Yours alone was $10?
Yeah, mine alone was $10.
Oh my God.
And she paid for my meal and everything. I was like, dang, thank you. But
honestly, if I'm like going out with a girl and like, let's say I pay for like one meal or whatever, like I pay for one thing, right? Mm. Obviously, I'm hoping that it's not too much. Because I just don't like spending a lot of money unless it's on like instruments or music gear. That's just me personally. But I'm not like, you know what I mean? Like if our bill's like, I've been like paid for like an $80 date once, but I was actually dating the girl at the time. I don't mind like paying that, you know what I mean? However, when it comes like to the girl paying, I feel bad if she pays for like a lot or like if like the dollar amount is a lot. So I order like the smallest as can be. Like, well, I can be
I've
starving.
I've never been to Panera Bread, so I didn't know it was that expensive. Like, I didn't know Panera Bread was just expensive everything.
Do they not have like prices on the menu or something?
No, she was already going to pay for my meal, like before I even ordered. Oh. So when I saw the receipt, like, oh, that was kind of expensive. But I was surprised like when she was like, oh, I'll pay for you. So she was like taking that initiative and everything, which was kind of cool. But still.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah. So then I asked for her ID because I was like, I'm not trying to go to jail for my first date. Trying to go to jail, even though we didn't do anything, but still, I was like, I was super suspicious. So I asked her ID. It turned out my suspicion was correct. She turned 18 that week. That week.
Like, so she was already 18 by the time you guys went out, though,
no,
right?
No, by the time I matched with her, she was already 18. Like, let's say I went to the date on a Thursday or Friday or something. She turned 18 like that Tuesday. And let's say I matched with her on Thursday or something. Well, it probably wasn't that quick or that close. But let's just say her birthday was that Saturday before the week started or something. So it was close enough where I was like, whoa. She just became like a legal age. But still, the date went kind of well. It wasn't like amazing because, you know, I was still awkward. It was my first date ever. So I'm like nervous talking to this girl one-on-one for the first time, talking to like a girl like in a more dating aspect. So
yeah,
we walk around Target and everything. And because there was like this big Target over there, like huge, like you don't see crap like that over here. But we part ways and everything. That was basically, I don't think she had fun with me because I didn't know what I was doing. So, like, I tried to ask her for another, like, hangout kind of thing, but she didn't want to. So, I mean, I still kind of talked to her. Like, for example, like, when she finally graduated from high school and went to college, I still, like, you know, talked to her, like, oh, where are you going? Stuff like that. So, like, I still have her on Snap. I don't talk to her anymore, but I still have her on Snap and stuff like that. So, it wasn't, like, a bad kind of ghosting kind of thing. It's just, like, it was obvious she didn't want to hang out again. So
similar to, like, you know, you had your suspicions that the girl was under 18. Mm-hmm. I actually have a story for you. I can't tell it on the podcast. I typed it up. I'm about to type it to you. It's very quick. Like, I'm giving you the short version. Excuse me. I just can't actually say it on the podcast because I'd be incriminating myself and a friend of mine. But I had a very similar situation, but nobody told us what happened. I mean, nobody told us until after. And I just sent you everything. But, dude, so I'm going to tell you, I never told you about the story of this one girl I was friends with / talking to. I never told you, like, how her mom interrogated me. That's crazy, isn't it?
That is crazy. I don't know what's wrong with people.
Me either, dude.
What the heck?
Did I ever tell you the story about this girl that I was, like, friends with but talking to, and her, like, mom wanted to meet me, and then it turned from, like, actually meeting me to get to know me because my friend was talking about me a lot? To me being interrogated for like an hour plus. Have I ever told you that story?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so out of respect of the person, I'm not going to say their name on the podcast, of course. I'm texting you the name because we went to school with this person. You probably know this person, or you probably know this girl.
I remember the name, but I don't remember the face. Okay.
Okay. If I can find a picture, I'll show you. So this was probably the best female friendship I've ever had. And I ended up ruining it in the long run. So it was just like, I was at my friend's house spending the night. And it was like back when I had social media. So this was back in 2015 or 2016 that this happened. It was 2015. Okay, so yeah, it was August 2015. I believe it was August 14th. So that girl messaged me randomly at like 2 or 4 in the morning on Twitter with two messages. The first one was like, "Hey, are you awake right now?" And then like a couple of minutes later, she was like, "I'm sorry, that was just so stupid of me to ask. Just disregard it." Mind you, we have not talked since sixth grade, and we were freshman year of college at this point. We had one class together, and I noticed her, and I was actually, you know, infatuated by her. However, I never, like, I was too chicken shit back then, so I didn't say anything, I didn't talk to her, anything like that. So she messaged me, and like when I woke up and was like, you know, in class, I was like, you know, "Hey, I'm up now, blah blah blah, what's going on?" So like we started talking, you know, getting to know each other, this and the third. It was like really fun. After a while, that fall, I ended up going to her college. She went to CNU, and like just hung out with her, and I did that a couple of times. It was like really cool, and that campus is beautiful. It's gorgeous. I don't know if you've ever been. So I introduced her to my favorite band, Black Veil Brides, and showed her some more metal, like stuff that's like actually heavy. And she ended up like identifying with like the lyrical content and the community that Black Veil Brides created. And she ended up like loving them. Then of course, you know, no offense to females, but she's a female. So she found the lead singer attractive. So she started becoming like a huge fan of his, you know what I mean? So he had a solo project. I told her about it. She was excited. She like listened to the first song before like he completely released a full record solo. So she was just like completely obsessed with them. I got her like into the band. We were going to go see them together. We didn't go see them together at this point yet. So she asked if she could borrow all of my CDs because I'm a guy that has CDs from his favorite bands. So I had all of the Black Veil Brides CDs at the time. And I was like, "Yeah, sure, you can borrow them." So her family found them. Her family. So she lived with her aunt and grandparents.
Which doesn't seem like a bad thing so far. But, you know, it's just a band.
Yeah. They hated the band. And the fact that, because they obviously didn't know anything about it. They Googled it. And if you Googled the like Black Veil Brides, like one of the old Google searches for them was, "Is Black Veil Brides satanic? Do they worship the devil?" Blah, 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 blah. So they Googled that shit.
What the heck?
And it came up. Like, there were people that hated Black Veil Brides because they looked like, you know, Kiss and Motley Crue. And back in the day, Kiss and Motley Crue, they were, like, demonized and whatnot. And I see what Motley Crue was. Like, they specifically had, like, upside down, like, inverted pentagrams on their stuff, like, giving, like, a quote-unquote satanic ideology. However, they simply did it for, like, a lot of, like, stuff that I think we talked about it on, like, a couple episodes back. They seriously did not want anybody to... Like, if you're closed-minded, they did not want you listening to their music. So that's, like, why they had, like, that iconography. You know what I mean? So Black Veil Brides, they had, like, not the same thing, but, like, the similar thing. But then again, they were going, like, for the metal image. So obviously you have to throw, like, some pentagrams, like, inverted pentagrams and stuff like that. But they made a symbol out of it. However, some of the members, I believe, they probably have, like, a religious belief, like, in a certain denomination. And, like, the others, they're atheists. I honestly think they're all atheists, but I could easily be wrong because I don't personally know them. But from my memory searching, correcting, like, different interviews and whatnot, they're atheists. So, anyways, the aunt and grandparents thought they were devil worshippers. So, being that I listened to them and I introduced her to them, they thought I was a devil worshipper. So, this is back in when I had social media, like I said earlier. So, on my Facebook, there's this band called Avenged Sevenfold. You probably heard of them. The rhythm guitarist Zachy Vengeance, he has like his own like company called Vengeance University, and he like a little motto or tagline is established 6661, but if you flip 6661 upside down, it's really just the year 1999, which is the year the band was established. But it's a metal band, so obviously they have to like go for the aesthetic. So
he did 6661. So the aunt saw that and was like, this guy worships the devil. You don't need to hang out with him. So the, if my memory serves me correct from what she told me, I think it was the grandfather. He took my CDs and said, I'm going to throw them out if you don't get rid of them and get them out of my house. They were my CDs. So I took that as a personal attack. So when she told me that, I was, I wish he would throw my CDs out. I'm going to drive there. So, like, obviously I didn't threaten her grandfather to her, but in my head I was like, I'm going to drive there and I'm going to have a word with him if he throws my CDs away. So we kept, you know, so, like, she told me that, like, we met up again. She gave me my CDs. She was like, I'm so sorry. She was, like, very apologetic. And she was, like, crying profusely. I was like, look, it's okay. I understand. Like, I expect this from, you know, family members. Like, my family thought, blah, blah, blah. So, like, I kind of, like, eased her mind a little bit. So time goes on. And her aunt and grandparents, like, they planted the seed in their minds that I worship the devil. And then it grew into this huge oak tree that I was just, like, this huge devil worshiper that wanted to take her from God, from believing in God, to not believing in anything, being that I'm, like, an atheist. Like an agnostic atheist, no, pretty much saying like I don't believe in God, but I know I could easily be wrong because I'm only a man. So I'm open to the idea of that there is a God, and I'm not against like me realizing that later on or coming to like you know a personal relationship with them. You know what I mean? I'm not like closed-minded or stupid. Well, I'm not gonna say stupid, but I'm not closed-minded. So they didn't know that. They just knew that I didn't believe in God because she told them, which kind of her fault, but it's okay. They would have found out anyways. So anyways, like, the mom was not hip to any of this, right? So she was, like, talking about me a lot because, like, we kept hanging out, getting to know each other, talking all the time. Like, yeah, it was, like, really good. I really liked the girl, and she really liked me. So she kept on telling her mom about me, so the mom wanted to meet me. I was like, okay, this is a pretty big deal. You know what I mean? Like, when you meet somebody's parents, like, that's pretty big, in my eyes, at least. So I get to the mom's house, and, like, I was, like, the girl and I, we were texting up until, like, I got to the mom's house. And then at a certain point, like, 30 minutes before, she stopped texting me, and I was like, why isn't she texting me? So I was like, you know what, anyways, I'm just gonna pull up there. So I pulled up, and she texted me. She was like, you don't have to come in anymore, please, just, you really don't have to come in. I was like, what are you talking about? So I get there, and she like comes out, we, you know, hug and everything, talk, say, you know, it's like, I see you today, this and the third. And she was like, so my aunt found out that you were coming to meet my mom, so she called my mom and this and this, and like, so she's like talking like bad about you, blah, blah, blah. I really just, you know, please, like, you know, I just want you to go. I was like, you know, Chris, I'm like, what, you know, what's the worst that could happen? I was being optimistic, but I was also like, I want to like shut your family down. Like, I really want like to show them that I'm not who they think I am. Because if you and I are truly going to, like, I was thinking, you know, with love and whatnot, if you and I are really going to be in a relationship, I want them to know the real me. And I at least want to say my piece to them. And if they don't believe it, that's perfectly fine. At least I made the effort. You know, they, like, at least they were able to meet me this and the third. So I was like, no, it's fine. You know, like, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? She was like, I don't know, like, what all she's telling her. But, you know, just be prepared. I was like, all right, that's cool. So I walk in. Beautiful place. Beautiful place. The mom actually has the same TV stand as a friend of mine. So I even made mention of that, like, to try to break the ice further on into the
I can imagine the silence.
And interview. Like interrogation. So I walk in, you know, I come up like, you know, hey, it's nice to meet you. I said like the traditional, you know, I heard so much about you, blah, 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 blah. And mom was like, yeah, me too. And I was like, oh shit, I wonder what you heard now. But I was like, you know, like, oh shit, you're gonna have to leave that out. I forgot to record the podcast. You're gonna have to
okay. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I was like, the girl talked about me to her mom a lot. So maybe that's what the mom means, but she heard a lot about me. So I finally get inside, close the door and everything. And the mom is like, hey, would you like a bottle of water? That's the first question that she asked me. I was like, oh, no, thank you. I'm good. You know, I drink before I got here.
She was trying to poison you. And kill you right then and there.
So in my head, I was like, this is going to be pleasant. So like, she was like, yeah, let's, you know, go in here. Like, I really want to, you know, get to know you and meet you and whatnot. Because, you know, she's been talking about you a lot, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's like always smiling. This and third. I was like, oh yeah, you know, yeah. Like I'd love to meet you also. I've been wanting to meet her family. So we sit down, and the first question the mom asks me is, so why do you worship the devil? And I lied to you not. I was not prepared for that. My mouth dropped and my eyes got so wide. I was like, I'm sorry. And this girl, she got so upset. Like on the verge of tears. And I was like, look, you know, it's fine. You know, don't worry. Blah, 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 blah. It's perfectly okay. And I was like, I don't. I was like, I don't believe in God nor the devil. And she was like, but you listen to music that's devil worship. I was like, ma'am, it's actually really not devil worship. And she was like, no, it is, because blah, blah, blah. She was like going off of like what the aunt, her sister told her. And I was like, so this is actually the day that she gave me back my CDs. So I had all of the CDs there. I said, now, if you're looking at them, okay, I get why you think it's devil worship. However, if you actually take a like second to actually like listen to the lyrics, she was like, no, I listen to the music and it's devil worship. I was like, which song are you like, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm defending this band to the death. Like, I'm defending not only me, but I'm defending them. You know what I mean? So she was like, they have this song called Fallen Angels. And obviously, if you listen to it, you're going to, like, if you hear the name and, like, you're religious, you're like, oh, yeah, they definitely worship the devil. But the one of the, like, lines in the pre-chorus is, we're bored to death in heaven. We're down alone in hell. We only want to be ourselves. So what they mean by fallen angels is that they just pretty much feel as if they don't belong, like, on either side of the spectrum. They're just being themselves. You know what I mean? So they're not in heaven, they're not in earth. I mean, they're not in hell. They're really just like on earth, just like doing them, like in the middle, you know what I mean? So I tried explaining that to her. And I was like, you know, we can like read some of the other lyrics. She's like, no, I don't need to read them because blah, blah, blah. I know this, that, and the third. So everything the aunt was saying, I had to explain the Vengeance University established in 6661. She was like, it says you went to that school, or it says like you're part of that company. I was like, with all due respect, there's no way I can join the company. It's like really something that's ran by him, and he just like sends out like stickers, like, you know, pens, patches, just like different guitar accessories, stuff like that, to fans of the band. And I was like, if you take, and I had to pull out my calculator, I typed in 6661 and I flipped it upside down. It's really 1999, which is the year that the band was established. That was going through everything, like literally everything. And at a certain point, my friend, she got so upset that she ran into the garage and refused to come back out, because like she was like really, you know, upset and embarrassed. And like I went back in there, and like I was blamed for her acting that way and for shifting her behavior or what have you. And I had to honestly say, I was like, in my defense, I really don't know what she was like beforehand. She seems more positive to me from what she tells me how she was before, so I feel like I kind of helped, you know, bring some light into her life. I understand that you and your family don't really feel that way, but just from what I see and from what she tells me, that's what, you know, I figure. So, like, I was interrogated, and I handled it so well. I didn't even get upset. I got frustrated. I was like, at first it felt like I was talking to a brick wall, but long story short, like, after everything was said and done, I was, like, telling her how, like, I wrote some of my friend's papers in college. And so, mind you, actually, to kind of talk about this a little bit, there was silence at one period. I was just looking around the room. I was like, are you from New York? Because I saw like a skyline of New York. And she was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. And I saw the TV stand. I was like, oh, I know that TV stand. My friend, he has the same one. His is the maple color, though. He has a maple finish. It's very heavy. I kind of fell asleep while he was putting it together. I was supposed to help him. And she's like, yeah, it's nice, blah, blah, blah. She was like, well, being that, you know, you're acquainted with it, do you know how to connect it to, like, the TV? So I was like, I really don't, but I can Google it. So and if, like, I figure out, I can help you with it. Like, I'm not
being okay with you, or?
The aunt and grandparents still hated me. The mom ended up loving me. She even told her daughter, although I'm not completely comfortable with the music you listen to, she said, I only feel comfortable with you going to concerts with him because I like him. I know him, and he's, like, very respectable. Now, I did call this girl once when I was drunk, and I was, like, saying some stuff. And the mom brought that up. I don't know how she knew. I guess the sister – I guess, like, my friend's sister told her. No, it could be that she told her.
Because, like, so anyways, I mean, I don't tell my mom everything, but I mean, she could have the stuff that
I don't know
happened that are kind of crazy. Or, like, if I'm bothered, she could tell I'm bothered she should have told her. And I'll tell her what happened.
Yeah. So that's probably what it was, because, like, I was – when I was inebriated, I was talking to her and her sister. No, she overheard me because I was on speakerphone. That's what it was. Because I think I was rapping or singing to her and her sister, now that I think about it, as I was in my friend's trunk. So that's probably what it was. So anyways, the mom ended up like really liking me. And like, she went upstairs, like talked to the aunt, tried to defend me also. And the mom started asking about me more, like asking how I was doing this, that, and the third. So when Andy Black, well, that's the name of the side project, when he, like, went on tour for the first time, we both went to the tour, we both got the VIP, we both got, like, to meet him, we took pictures with him and everything, and the mom, like, was actually at the concert with us, and after the concert, she was like, that was actually incredibly positive, like, is his band, like, are the concerts like this? I was like, if you think that was positive and, like, very, like, beautiful, the concerts with the band is even more beautiful. Like, you actually feel like a family. It's, like, actually a little community.
Well, I feel like that just shows, like venue. How...
And wait, she was, like...
To bring it back to that first podcast we made, like, where we were talking about, like, how people have these, like, preconceived notions of stuff. And, like, they want to believe it so bad that they won't, like, kind of believe in anything else. Like, even if the what's in front of them is saying something different. So it's like say metal. Like, it's such a popular thing. I don't know as much nowadays, but at least back then, it was such a popular thing to just say, well, when I say nowadays, I mean with people who are young nowadays. Maybe the elders still think it. But, like, it's so popular to think that metal just means devil worship or screaming. Screaming, angst, metal music, and it's just devil worshipers with guitars and stuff like that. And it's just, like, that comes from a state of, like, just misunderstanding. And it's, like, when you actually, like, look at it in a different, like, if you look at it without that bias, it's never truly what it looks like. Well, with stuff like that. Like, racism.
Yeah.
No. I'm not going to say so. Like, oh, it's never truly what it looks like. No. The KKK is exactly what they look like.
Yeah, man. And it was, like, crazy. Like, it was that night where I said, so everything I was telling you when we first met was true. Like, I was speaking the truth. You know what I mean? And she was like, no, I see it, blah, blah, blah. Like, she was like, well, they have my approval. And that made my friend the happiest girl on earth. Because not only did I clear my name, I cleared the band's name. And in my eyes,
that's pretty cool. I did not expect it to end that way. I thought it was going to end, like, the negative, where she's like, get out of my house! Get out! But no.
You know, so they're like, that just goes to show, man, like, even if you're, like, going through oppression, now, obviously, it's not going to work in all cases, but if you're going through oppression of some degree to some capacity, if you just, like, hold yourself in, like, a really good composure, there is, like, a likelihood where you're going to come out on top, and that's truly what happened.
That are, like, negative when there's opposing sides. It always happens when both of them lose their control. Like, if one loses their control and the other stays kind of calm about it, it's still bad, but it's even worse when both lose control. Like, say they're at that house. Like, if you would have lost your control with them and just, like, started getting mad and stuff like that, that would have just ruined everything. But because you kept your composure, everything went well.
Yeah, man. I was really expecting it to go, like,
get out!
She turns to the daughter, how dare you? How dare you bring this devil worshiper into the house? But it's like, I was working at Food Lion at the time, and the mom came into my Food Lion by accident because, like, she was getting stuff for, like, the daughter, and she was, like, you know, talking to me, like, chopping it up with me, and it was, like, the friendliest conversation. You would never expect the first real question she asked me is, why do you worship the devil? Like, dude, like, yeah,
that's
is
actually a huge really, really
accomplishment
cool
in my eyes. And
ooh.
I ended up messing up the whole friendship, though. I'm not even gonna lie. So, like, like, long story short, there was, like, a period, like, where, like, I was pushing her away because I was insecure and I wasn't too sure if, like, she really, you know, wanted to pursue anything. And so, like, I started taking it personally, but I didn't look at everything objectively. And I kind of, like, pushed her to that. And, like, then she started hanging out with other people. And we just, like, lost touch. And then, like, we started talking again. And she told me some stuff. And I ended up having a panic attack in the middle of a movie. And I was just like, man, like, that's when I realized I truly care for this girl. You know what I mean? So fast forward, I was in my relationship that I ended last year. And this friend, like, we had, like, a really good friendship. You know what I mean? Like, we always praised each other for, like, what the other's doing good, what the other's doing bad. Or, no, we don't praise each other for the bad that the other's doing. But we're praising each other for the good that we're doing. Like, we try to, like, help each other through the bad and whatnot. And her boyfriend at the time, who's probably her fiance now, I think he quit his job or he lost his job or something. He wasn't working. She was working part-time and she was also going to school and whatnot, not to air out their dirty laundry, but it was just, like, tough. So she was, like, very frustrated, rightfully so. So she texted me one day, and my ex had my phone because she was on my phone a lot. She asked, she was like, hey, can I vent to you real quick? Can I tell you how smart you are and how dumb my boyfriend's being? And obviously, to a girl, that's going to look bad. And honestly, I would not be happy if my girl texted anybody that. And I don't care if they were, like, close guy friends. And knowing, like, the nature of, like, how, like, what we had as a past, I get what, like, my girlfriend was upset. You know what I mean? And I was like, you know, hey, out of respect for your boyfriend, I don't know the kid, but I don't think it's right for you to, like, you know, talk down on. I was like, if you want to vent, that's one thing, but, you know, I just don't want to hear you calling him stupid because blah, 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 this and third. Now, I mean, in my eyes, was he being stupid? Yes. But I didn't, like, you know, I didn't want him to see that and think I was preying on his relationship, you know what I mean? And then my girlfriend thinks I'm preying on their relationship, so I can, I was like, let me just keep everything clear. So, like, all sides are happy somewhat, or the happiest they can be. So I told her that. And then my ex was like, that's not good enough. She's obviously trying to flirt with you. She wants to get you back. She likes you. She still has feelings for you. This, that, and the third. And I was like, I don't think it's that deep. Like, I really don't. Like, back then, I would say yes. But she's, like, really just venting. I was like, she's going through a lot. She's, like, frustrated. You know what I mean? So I was like, it's cool. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? I was like, if she wants to vent, I'm going to let her vent. And my ex didn't like that. So what happened was she guilt-tripped me into not thinking I did enough. So she wanted me to go off on this friend. So I was like, you know what? I just got to go home. I just got to go to my dad's house real quick. I just got to get some stuff. I need to clear my head. I'll be back in like an hour or so. Because I really needed to clear my head. I was going to talk to my parents about it, talk to my friends, like see like what, you know, their perspective was. Like just try to like get as much advice as possible, then make the right thing. Because I didn't like want to rush into anything. So I talked to my parents, and they both like had a consensus. Even if you're friends with somebody, if you had like a romantic past with them to some capacity and you're in a relationship, you don't necessarily need to talk to them because like it can make everything convoluted. And they were right about that. So but my mom made me feel like I didn't do enough for my relationship, like I didn't defend my relationship's honor. And another one of my friends made me feel that way. So I went off on my friend and I felt bad about it. Like I really felt bad. Like it hurt me to even like send her the message that I sent her. And I can't remember what I said. So anyways, I get back and like before I send that message, I get back and I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna do it. Like my girl, she's just gonna have to be upset because like this is still a good friend of mine. I'm not gonna ruin a friendship just because of her. And we got into like a huge argument about me and my blah blah blah. She was like, if I had this roles were reversed, blah 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 blah. I was like, yeah, you're right, but I didn't really trust her all that much. You know what I mean? Like, I never really gave her a reason not to trust me. I'm not even going to say never really. I never gave her a reason not to trust me. But she gave me multiple reasons not to trust me, like flirting with my friends and whatnot. You know what I mean? And like flirting with other people and thinking she can hide and shit. So her saying if the roles were reversed, she was right because I didn't trust her as far as I could throw her. However, I was like, let me give her the benefit of the doubt and just, you know, respect the relationship. So that's like when I went off and whatnot. And this friend, she was like, you know what? Don't talk to me. She's like, I'm not going to talk to you until you message me first, blah, 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 because it's not that big of a deal, which I agreed with her on. And she was like, I don't want you thinking I'm trying to, like, cause problems with your relationship, which was very respectful. And she's like, honestly, I don't care. It's not jealousy. Your girlfriend just needs to blah, 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 blah. And I was like, in my head, I was like, I agree with you 100%. My girlfriend, she really just needs to calm down. It's not that big of a deal. She's making this bigger than what it needs to be, and she's ruining this friendship. But I can't say I agree with you. You know what I mean? So I didn't, like, respond back to it. No, I did. I said, you know, don't worry about me reaching out, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, if we talk, we talk. If we don't, we don't. Right? So fast forward some months, I found out that she was pregnant.
Ooh.
And that broke my heart, although I was still in my relationship, because I was like, dang, man. I was like, it didn't like really break my heart. It was just like the girl I used to know is no longer there. And that's really like what hurt. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It is what it is. I have like my girlfriend. We're building a life together. So I thought. And it is like, you know, it is what it is. Like the beat goes on. So we break up. I break up with her. And I start, like, I get social media back and whatnot until before I realized I truly didn't like it anymore. And I saw, like, all this, like, celebratory events, like, leading up to, like, her having a baby and whatnot. So, like, one day I decided to reach out to her after she had the child. I was like, you know, hey, hope everything's good, blah, 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 blah. She's like, yeah, I don't know if you, like, know, but, you know, I had a baby, this and the third. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, that's cool. I saw it. And I was like, you know, hey, I just like really want to apologize because I know before, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, no, don't worry about it. And then here's what hurt. Because I was all by my lonesome. My ex was probably with somebody else. And my friend had a boyfriend and had a child with him. So she was like, honestly, like it hurt me reading what you said to me because like, you know, we were really close and this, that, and the third. Like it really hurt me reading those words that came from you, but I just had to move on. And this, that, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, damn, you know. I could feel that, like, she actually meant what she was saying. I was like, I actually fucking hurt her. And I wasn't, like, there to explain the situation. So I explained it there, but I was like, look, you know, I don't want to, like, keep beating a dead horse. So I get what you're saying, this, that, and the third. So we talked for a little bit more, and then that was it. Like, she just stopped messaging me completely. I guess she got her closure or whatever. And
if people ask me, because some people do ask, you know, like, what's your biggest regret in life? That really is my biggest regret, ruining that friendship. Because the whole rockiness, like, before it got to that point, like, when we were both seeing one, like, I was pushing her away, that was the fault of both of us. Like, both of our childishness. You know what I mean? But I could have easily amended that. I just chose not to, because I was too egotistical and prideful. And I was, like, going off of hubris. But, like, truly cutting the cord with it, that's what really, that's my biggest regret. I'm like, damn, man, I really made, like, a huge mistake.
Yeah, those regrets, they hurt.
But I'm sure, like, I'm sure, man, you could.
If I could go back in time and beat myself up, I would.
I feel like you could maybe make amends. You should do that.
This girl's headstrong, man. She is one thing I can say about her, and I love it, and I hate it at the same time. I hate how stubborn she is. But I love it because, like, she really protects herself, more so now than she did before. When she makes up her mind on something, that's, like,
wait,
she makes
up her mind.
How long
has it been since?
And in
how
the long? Sense that...
Oh, okay, yeah, year. That's a little too short. Maybe wake up, wait a minute. Maybe. But then again, maybe because it's COVID. The COVID could help. COVID
no,
has changed.
Like, last time I heard, she's getting married. So that ship is, like, long sailed. And honestly, I wouldn't even, like, want to be friends with her, because if I'm, like, friends with her, and, like, let's say, like, I'm not going to say we were going to hang out, because I obviously would not want to hang out with her, being that she, like, has a boyfriend or fiance, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want somebody that, like, she had, like, a past with, like, hanging out with her, because I don't want him, like, having any ill feelings towards that. I like to try to keep everything as civil as possible.
They'll come back.
Excuse me. So, like, I want to be I want to be respectful, because I would want somebody to be respectful of my relationship, although most people wouldn't be, because nobody really has a sex relationship nowadays. But I wouldn't even want to do that, because if I did that, if we had, like, the same connection, just, like, you know, riding around, or even, like, just, like, sitting down and talking, catching up on
something
the music that, like, we that's... like, and me telling her, that's what I'm saying, and I don't trust that situation.
I respect that, I respect that.
So, yeah, man. Yeah, dog, it fucking sucks. Like, that's really my biggest regret. I really want to beat my old tail up, but it's cool,
for
man. Everything happens for a reason.
At least we like
the only thing that sucks.
Say that.
I dream
it happens for a reason.
Yeah, I actually dream about this girl. Like, I haven't, like, dreamt about her. Like, for the longest time, I didn't dream about her. But, like, I'd say sometime last month, I had a dream where nothing between us changed. Like, she didn't have, like, this is gonna sound messed up. No, actually, no, she had a child in this dream. The dream for the other night, she didn't. So she still had her child in, like, this last dream, like, in the first dream, right? But she wasn't, like, with her boyfriend or fiance anymore. And, like, we were just, like, talking, like, we caught up, and, like, we just, like, put everything on the table, and it made me miss her dearly. And I was in a funk for, like, a week straight. I was like, dude, like, I just, like, kind of, like, revisited how bad I fucked up. You know what I mean? And then the other night, it was either, like, when I was sleeping or when I took a nap. I mean, I was sleeping either way. I don't know if it was, like, a full night's sleep or a nap. I dreamt about her again, but it wasn't like I erased her child from existence. It was like back, if I went back in time, it was just like us when we were like 19 or 20, like that version of us. You know what I mean? And I was like, damn, man, like I really had a good relationship with this girl. Not even like romantic wise, just like friendship wise. There's this movie called American Satan that the lead singer of Black Hole Brides is in, and like the rhythm guitarist of like a band called Asking Alexandria. Some guy from Game of Thrones, the porn star, Cassandra Black. I think that's Tori Black. I'm sorry. Her real name is Cassandra something. Tori Black, the porn star, she's in the movie. This one old white guy that's in a lot of movies, he's like in the movie also. Like a lot of people are in this movie, and we went to go see that together opening night. It was actually came out on Halloween, I believe. Either October 13th or Halloween, one of the two. So we went to go see that together. The last Warped Tour I couldn't make it to because I had work. So the record label, they actually had a tent at Warped Tour, and they had like a poster on like their, like right next to their tent, like on the gate, advertising the movie before it came out. So what did we do? I mean, not we. I told her like just like to get me some stuff from like Warped Tour and whatnot, and like take videos of Andy's set for me. And she like ran up to the tent of the record label, ripped off, like she bought herself a poster first. Then she ran up to the tent, ripped off their poster off the gate, crawled and ran away, and stashed that in her car. And she gave that to me later that night. I was like, this girl is amazing. Like, whoever she, like, ends up with her, they are so lucky. And, like, that just goes, like, to show, like, the dedication and loyalty she has to people that she's with. And I'm like, damn, dude. I really fucked up, like, a good friendship. So that's my story. Like, that's – you told me, like, you know, the Gucci douche.
Oh, yeah.
So I just like, want to tell you, like, one of my biggest regrets.
I think you'll find someone else who will be similar in that way. I believe it.
Oh, yeah. I only lived a quarter of my life, so I don't not have hope.
Oh, yeah. And then the reason why I called her Gucci Douche, that's her, like, nickname, was because, you know, she's Chinese, and a lot of these Chinese students are fairly rich. And
yeah,
she, I don't think, I mean, they could have been knockoffs, but I swear she was wearing, like, Gucci every day. Like, some new, like, and I swear one time I was talking to a friend about it, and then we went on the website to look at a Gucci, like, some of the Gucci Gucci merchandise, and we see this new jacket that came out or something, and I swear that next day in class she was, I swear. So that's why we called her Gucci Deuce, because she douche because she broke my heart. Gucci because she wears the Gucci. So Gucci Deuce.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I was trying to figure out, like, where that name came from, but that makes a lot of sense now.
And then I guess I'll say the last two stories, for at least for me, my last stories, which are the story of the first time, technically, up to fourth base. So, as I was saying, I was growing my hair out. At this point, my hair was like almost e-boy type stage, where it's like, you know, really curly, but not fully dreads. And I had the glasses on. So, the look was complete. And I was getting matches out of the huzoo. Like, match, getting matches. Like, way more than now. I don't know what changed. Like, people just don't like dreads or something. Because I was getting super matches back then. And not now, but that could be the area though. So I'm going to give,
so that definitely is the area,
not me. But I was getting suit, like, literally matches for days. And if at some point I matched with her, and I didn't know what to say because, of course, I was still kind of awkward just because I went on that first date that didn't, like, really change me. So I was still kind of awkward, and I didn't know what to say to half of the people I matched with. So it never went well because they would get bored by the time they, like, started talking to me, because I was still in that kind of mindset where I was like, oh, I gotta be cool. I gotta, you know, say the right things every time perfectly. So I matched with her, and I asked a friend, okay, I don't know what to say. What should I say to her? Because her profile said something like, don't bore me, or something like that. Like, you know, all this other stuff. So he made a joke, and I was like, okay, I'll use that. And it was something like, it was something stupid, like literally just like dumb. It didn't even make sense. Like something like, oh, how can I not bore you if I don't say anything, or something stupid.
Okay, so I think the problem was Anchor only lets you record for 2 hours max. So it hit that 2 hour point and then it just cut off.
Gotcha. So, okay,
so what was I talking about before it cut off?
Oh, something that made me laugh.
Was it about Snapchat?
Yeah.
Was I saying that, like, what I was sending her? Or was I going to rant about why you have to add Snapchat?
I can't remember, honestly. Something you said that made me laugh. I think it was, like, what you sent her.
Okay. So I'll just go back to what I sent her. So I got her Snapchat, and I was still, like, awkward and everything. So I was just sending her Bitmojis instead. So I was sending Bitmojis. And I sent her, like, the Bitmojis started getting more flirtatious. So they were doing the work for me. So the Bitmojis, like, when you do all the heart ones, you know, like, you know, sending little hearts or sending little stupid stuff. Yeah. So they started getting more flirtatious and stuff. And finally, because that's the thing I actually really liked about her. Like, really, really liked about her. She was forward and said, do you want to hang out? And I was like, sure. Nice. So she was like, okay, we can hang out today. I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh, that's soon. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I went and did it. And I joked and said, oh, I could teach you how to juggle and stuff.
Yeah.
So I go and actually do teach her how to juggle. We go eat at Southside a little bit. Oh, Southside was the dining hall. Yeah. And then we pick up some. No, I tell her, because she was at Southside, to get oranges. I tell her to get like three oranges or something. So she gets three oranges, and we go back to my dorm building, and I teach her how to juggle. So by the end of it, she was actually almost getting pretty good. Oh, and just to give context of what she looked like, of course, she was Asian, but she was half Asian. She was half Asian, half Latino. So take that as you will. So, and then, so I'm teaching her to juggle. And finally, she kind of did it. But then it was getting kind of late. And what did I do? At some point, I think I might have asked, like, if she's hungry or anything. Because that was a while after she went to Southside. I guess she didn't eat that much. So we went to one of the restaurants on campus. It was fast food restaurant. So we went to Subway. And that was kind of a far walk. So we walked all the way and we were talking and stuff. And so let's say a 15-minute walk of us talking. And then we went to Subway, ate, talked. And then we were walking. I was going to walk her back to her dorm because she was a freshman while I was a senior. So I was, a senior, quote, because that was my fourth year out of five. So yeah. I was going to walk her back to her dorm. And then we see out of nowhere, these freaking people playing the steel drums just out in the open, I guess practicing their steel drums for whatever recital. So we're like, okay, let's go watch that. Or I tell her because I'm actually interested. So I'm like, okay, you want to come see? Because I'm about to go over there. And she's like, okay, I guess we'll come. So we're watching these guys go on the steel drums. They go ham. So I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. I'm having a good time. I don't know about her, but I'm having a good time. So then after that, then we finally walk her back to her dorm. And she kind of sits there awkwardly. And I think she was expecting me to like give her a goodbye kiss or something. But, I'm me, and I had no experience in that stuff. So I'm like, okay, see you. I walk out. I walk away. So then the next day, she was like, oh, do you want to hang out again? And I was like, sure. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to teach her to juggle again. So I'm like, okay, let's go juggle. And finally, at some point, we were just sitting on – because I do it in my dorm. I did it in one of the study rooms. Or kind of the common room areas that had a TV and stuff. But, no one used these things. So it was just us in this place. So we were sitting on the couch at some point, she kind of starts looking at me. And I'm like, why are you looking at me like that? So I'm like, I look at her back. I'm like, what do you want? And then she keeps looking at me. She's like blinking her eyes, that kind of flutter thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, still like, okay. And then finally, because I guess she realized that I don't know what is with any of this stuff. She's finally like, do you want to kiss me? And see, it keeps getting worse and worse. It doesn't stop. So I'm like, I never kissed anyone before. She's like, okay, you can do it now. And I was like, I don't know how. She's like, okay, I'll teach you. I was like, what if my breath stinks?
You set yourself up for failure the whole day.
She was like, okay. It's like she kept like ignoring it. Then she finally like went in for it. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know. Because that was the first time I ever did anything like that. So I'm like, oh. And then she's like, oh, did you like it? I was like, I don't know. And then she went in again, blah, 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 blah. And then finally, we're doing it, all that stuff in the common room. And then, because it's a common room, occasionally people are leaving their dorm. So we're like, oh, and we just kind of stay, like, act like we were just, just happy, innocent people. Because it was starting to get, like, a little more aggressive on her end. She was starting to get more aggressive with this stuff. Of course, I wasn't, because I never did any of this stuff before. So she was getting more aggressive. And then people kind of leave their dorm. So we all, like, act like, oh, we're just innocent people just being in the common room watching TV or something. And then finally, she said, do you think we should, go to your dorm instead? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, okay, well, we should go to your dorm. So finally, I take her to my dorm, and that's when it all goes like crazy mode. Like to make it more PG, so she starts taking off her clothing, and I see everything for the first time ever. So I'm like, ooh. And then she, aggressive making out stuff. And, at that point, I'm the instincts are kind of coming in.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to go crazy a little bit. So now I'm like, and then she even commented on it. It's like, you are acting way crazier than I thought you were going to go. But I'm like, that instinct is coming in. So I'm like going all in. And then finally, she takes off more clothing, and I see everything. And then she's like, do you want to touch the booby? And she didn't say it like that, of course, but she basically said that. I was like, sure. And I just kind of hold it. I'm like, okay, this is just skin. So I'm like, I just move it around. Like, I'm just like moving it around because I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how you fondle this thing. So I just move it around like it's like a joystick.
She's like, that's not how you do it. She has to teach me how to, like, actually do it. And finally, I'm doing that. So that's feeling better. And then she's like, do you want to touch the private area? And I'm like, sure.
Do you want to touch the private area?
So then I, you know, I'm doing that stuff. She has to teach me, of course, how to do that. So I'm kind of doing it. And then finally, she goes, do you want to take your pants off? And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, you know, awkwardly do it. Because I've never, you never take your pants off in front of anyone before. So, you know, I'm kind of awkwardly doing it.
Unless it's the doctor.
Yeah, so I'm doing it. And then, you know, everything's out. And I'm like, oh, but, you know, the thing that was standing gloriously. Like, it was ready. Like, in my mind, I'm like,
oh. I've been ready for this my whole life.
So, finally, she, to make it PG, she gloops the gook. And, like, she's glooping, you know, glooping it with her. She's glooping it with her oral vessel. And I'm like, this feels like, I don't know what this feels like, because I've never felt anything like that. But all I know, the thing that comes to mind when I remember that day is that I was like, there's some ridges in someone's throat. Like, this is weird. There's some ridges in there. And, you know, so it's like an organic thing. So I'm like, oh, this is interesting. But then finally, to make it PG, of course, I bloop. And then she's like, she gulps it all down. So I'm like, oh. And then she keeps going. I'm like dying finally. That's when it finally hit me. I'm like, oh, I'm finally die. And then when I'm just like sitting there, like kind of shivering, because I'm like, this is too much for me. This is like all happening in one day. And then she's like, she goes in and then she, you know, kisses me again. But I'm like, I'm tasting something. I taste a little something in there. But I kind of ignore it. Because, you know, I'm like, this is all great. So finally, that ends. And the next day, she wants to do it again. Like, now there's no, like, juggling, of course. She wants to just go straight to that. So she meets me at the door. And we go straight back to doing whatever. And at this point, she finally says, like, do you want to go all the way, of course, like, to that fourth phase? And that's when I, the pure angel of a human, was like, and no. Because I was like, what? I don't want a child. I don't want any risk of a child. Two, I don't have the condom because I didn't even think of doing this ever. And then three, you know, I'm still kind of in that trap, that kind of religious trap where I'm like, oh, if I do it, I'll go straight to hell. So I'm like, no. But so we don't do that. But that's when we do other stuff, of course. And that goes on for about like a week or so. And the thing is, she wanted it more than I did, kind of. Like, she would ask me if I was having fun. And I was like, yeah, of course. But it's like, I think I'm more of a stoic, and I don't, like, really express the emotion as much. So she wasn't sure if I was liking what she was doing, which I was, of course, but I wasn't, like, going, like, woohoo! So she was kind of confused sometimes. But, you know, it was, well, it kept going. And she wanted more than me because, like, wanted to do that stuff more than me. Because, like, you know, I was in my, quote, senior year. So I was like, oh, I gotta study and stuff. But she was like, oh, you want to meet up? I was like, no, I got to study. So I was the one. Like, it's usually the other, you know, stereotypically, it's the other way around where the other person's like, oh, not tonight, honey, or whatever. But this, it was me doing it. She was the one who was, like, doing the other thing. So that goes on. And then finally we have our last little meetup. And that was, like, the craziest of them all. I still didn't go to that fourth base, though. But that was the craziest night of them all because that was the night before we had to go back to back home because it was the summer break. So after that, summer break happened, and I still talk to her all the time, like on Snapchat and stuff. But the problem was there was the distance. Like, I'm all the way down in the Virginia Beach area. She's all the way up in the Washington, D.C. area. So there's that distance problem. So we never were able to meet. The one time I did go to D.C., I was with my cousin,
And, you know, I didn't want to, like, you know, screw my, like, say, bye, cousin. I'm meeting this one girl. So I wanted to, you know, host my cousin the right way the whole time. So I wasn't able to meet her, even though she wanted us to meet. Like, she said she would give us a, because she worked at this one restaurant. She said she would give us a discount if we came. But the problem was we were exploring D.C. for too long that we wouldn't be able to get there in time. So their place closed by the time we were, like, finished doing everything. So slowly that whole relationship got kind of, like, dry. And then, you know, the semester started. And I saw her once, but, you know, it was only once. It was just like a, oh, hey, how's it going? And we hugged and everything. And then it kind of fell flat. And then we just stopped talking more and more until the point where I think she deleted me off of everything. But that was, like, recent. But, you know, we haven't talked since, like, a lot since then. So, you know, we just stopped talking.
Just like how I don't hear you right now if you are talking. So if you do hear me, just leave. So then I can invite you back.
Podcast has been a mess. But did you at least hear the story?
No, I heard the story.
Okay.
Gracious, man. She unadded you. I lied to you not. I would have left my cousin. I'm like, all right. I'll see you.
I couldn't do it. I was like, man, I haven't seen my cousin in so long. You know, he came all the way here from Tennessee or whatever.
Yeah, he would have gotten left.
But, yep. Yeah, so the whole relationship got, you know, it got stale from then. And it kind of sucks because she was, of course, the first everything. And she was like, everything. So she was almost like a teacher. She was almost like a mentor.
Yeah.
In a way. But stuff happens. It kind of sucks. But it doesn't hurt as bad. Because it wasn't, like, on bad terms, how we...
Yeah.
But it was just, like, you know, a natural kind of... We talked less. Now, the second person, less was done. Because, well, I don't know if this is because, but this is a factor. She was Muslim. This is the second girl. She was Latina, too. Mm-hmm. But she was a Muslim, a Latina. So, we meet. That was from Tinder. And... she was pretty cool. So we talked. This one was like the opposite, where the first one, we didn't really talk much other than like hanging out in that dorm room.
Yeah.
So we did, even though, which I'll go back to that. That did make me suspicious when I was hanging out with her. I was like, I wasn't sure if she really liked, like, I was wondering, like, is she just using me for like stress relief and all this? So that, I guess that kind of suspicion was with me the whole time. So that,
which
kind
isn't
of,
bad either if you think about it.
Yeah. So I was, so that was, that's why it was like kind of the opposite with the other girl. The other girl, I knew she liked me and she had fun talking to me, but we didn't do as much stuff. But we actually went on more date type kind of things almost.
Yeah.
But we meet, the problem with her though, was that she had to go home at this certain time or her parents would get suspicious or something like that. So we would only hang out at her community college because she was at community college for when I first met her. She went to GMU afterward, but she was in community college when I first met her. And we hung out and stuff and we talked and we actually got along really well. And I met her friends and stuff because it was at her community college. So I met her friends and everything and everyone was pretty cool. And finally, after like maybe the third meeting, because I could only meet her once a week too. Because the only time I could meet her was when she had to work after school. And yeah. Then after school, she had like this kind of period where like maybe a 1 to 2 hour period where she could hang out. And then,
right.
So it was only once a week. So that kind of sucked too, because I could only meet her once a week. So like that one meeting, if we got along really well, well, I gotta wait till the next week for that next meeting. But still, we meet finally after like the third week. Her friends leave us and everything and we're all alone. It is nighttime. And I'm walking her to her car.
Uh-huh.
And then we're just talking. And then at some point, we get to kind of like this one area where it's a little dark, like where people wouldn't really see us. And then she kind of looks at me. She does that same eye flutter kind of thing. I'm like, okay, what are you looking at me for? And then at this point, I realized, because I remember from the last time, like, oh, she's waiting for the kiss. But at this point, I'm still kind of nervous. So I'm like, I know that she wants me to do this. But yeah. I can't do it. So I'm kind of stuck. I'm like frozen. And then as a repeat of the last time. Then she finally goes, "Do you want to kiss?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then, then we kiss, and and but the problem was me, because I'm a little paranoid about everything. I'm like, "Oh, what if someone sees us? You know, we're kind of looking like hooligans right now, because we're right in the middle of the parking lot doing this stuff." So, but you know, I kind of ignore it. But you know, at that point, we do that, and then we go to the car, we kiss some more. And then she's like, "Oh wow, you blah 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 blah." And then I wait till next week. And then the next week we meet again, and it's the same thing, same thing. Next week, same thing, same thing. And then finally, 1 week, it was getting really flirtatious.
Yeah.
And we're kissing in the car, and then finally she decides to gloop the boop. It's just like, with her oral vessel. So at that point I was like, "Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa," and I'm and then what problem back then, or even now still, but I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell them that I'm about to bloop. And I was like, I guess I should tell them, because I don't know if that's rude to not tell them and make it a surprise or something. So I tell her like, "Oh, I'm about to bloop." And then she stops. She stops. And then I'm like, "Oh, no." And she like, "Let's go." I'm like, "Oh, no. And I have to put my hand down so that it won't get all over my car. So I'm like, it's all in my hands. And I'm like in shock, because the other girl, she didn't do that. She let it all, she gulped it down. Yeah. So this one, I'm like, what do I do? I'm in this position of like, of vulnerability, where I'm just like with my pants down, with stuff in my hand, and I'm like, all messy. I'm like, what do I do? But luckily there was like window cleaner in my, the little compartment. Mm-hmm. And luckily that window cleaner all dried out. So there's no alcohol or anything, so it wouldn't burn anything. So it was all dried out because it was opened. So I used that as like a tissue to clean all this crap up. And in my mind, I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why would you do that? So I'm cleaning this up, and it's like the residue's still on my hand. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So, but still, I'm like, this is so nasty. I'm like, this is so nasty. I'm like, she's probably disgusted too. But she, I mean, I don't know, but she seemed okay, I guess. Like, she seemed shocked, but she was like, "Oh, that was smart to use that." So I throw away the tissue, and then, you know, I say goodbye or everything. And I go back into the, because this is at the community college, like after the thing. So I go into the community college so I can wash my hands and stuff. But mm-hmm. then it turns out, like when she was driving home and stuff, I think she did that because she was about to go off for a week for this writing convention or something. Yeah. Because she like won a competition for like poetry or something. So she was going to go off to do that. And I think that's why she did that. And then I was telling her, which I mentioned earlier to you, like earlier about the whole, like, you know, I don't want to tell the truth all the time about some stuff now. Like, I'll just let that kind of slide, not lie to them, but just not say it. Because in this relationship, well, because it's technically a relationship, because both of these girls weren't my girlfriend. So I've never had a girlfriend still. That's why it's kind of awkward, where it's like, I don't know what that, like, what they were other than, like, kind of a thing, a fling almost. But still, for her, I was telling her that I might graduate that semester. Because remember when I said technically senior year? So this is that fifth year. So that fifth year, I was like, I might graduate in the winter, and I'm not sure. And I was telling her my plans, because, you know, we're talking and stuff. So I was telling her my plans, like, oh, I do want to go to China for graduate school. So I would probably start going all in on that. And because I live down in Virginia Beach area, I'd probably leave George Mason and stuff like that. And I think that kind of got to her, because she liked me, but there was like that thing, like, where I could graduate and leave. So when she went on this vacation thing, or not vacation, that competition thing, where she went to like California for a week or something for this competition, she sent a text to me saying, like, basically saying she felt that if I graduated, basically, like, everything was kind of a waste almost, like, because she really liked me, but she didn't want to get her hopes up, and then it turns out I had to leave again. Because she said that she had, what's the word where you have, like, not issues, but problems, like, with separation with certain people? Like
separation anxiety?
Maybe that, I think.
because for abandonment issues.
Yeah, like abandonment kind of stuff. Because she something happened before with her. I don't know the story to that, but some, I guess something happened before to her within that. So she didn't want to like reopen those kind of emotions. If she got like all into me and then it turned out I had to leave, so that happened, and so she kind of ended the relationship because of that. And you know that kind of sucked because it's like twice in a row stuff happened like that where I'm like, we didn't become like anything other than a fling, and then it just ends like that. So that ended, and I'm like just sitting, I'm like, oh well, that was all for not almost nothing, but still it's like, wow, dang. And that was it. And then she didn't really talk to me, even though ironically I didn't graduate that semester. Like I didn't graduate, so I was still there. But yeah, she already ended everything by then. So, you know, I wasn't going to, like, in January be like, hey, I'm still here. After she ended it like that. So, a couple months passed. I swear, like, a couple times, like, I saw her on campus because she was going, which is the second ironic thing. She went to George Mason after she graduated from the community college, which was that winter. So she was on the same campus as me. But yeah, of course, that thing already happened. So I swear I saw her a couple times on campus, like walking with some people and stuff. But, you know, nothing kind of, I wasn't going to try to send her a message out of thirst or something. So I kind of just let it go. And then finally, maybe sometime in, when the COVID thing happened, she sent a message to me and was like, oh, hey, I just wanted to, you know, talk to you again. I'm sorry about how things ended up and all that.
Ouch.
It's like, I'm sorry about all that. I was just so worried about, you know, blah, 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 because I really liked you. And, you know, I didn't hate her for that. So I decided I was going to still try talking to her. So I still talk to her sometimes because, like, it didn't end on a bad note. It kind of ended on a, like, I understood what she meant when she told me she wanted to end everything because of that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. It kind of hurt still, but I was like, it still makes sense. So yeah, I still talk to her. I still kind of talk to her to this day. It's not like the other one. So yeah, and those are the two only like actual relationships I've been. I mean, there's a possibility now for a third. There is a possibility, but you know, that's only a possibility. But then again, that third, it would just reawaken that same thing because there's a chance in winter I might go to freaking China or something, or the next year if I go to China if I get accepted to grad school. So it'd be the same thing where I have to drop the relationship before it got like deep.
And what's the school name again?
Chihuahua. But yeah, so those are my stories. I guess the moral of the story is you don't have to lose your virginity to have a relationship, and you don't have to have a girlfriend to have your heart freshest broken.
Yeah, man, honestly, that's like a common narrative nowadays. People don't even have girlfriends or boyfriends, and they're still getting their hearts broken as if they did.
It is a hard world out there on the dating scene. But you know, I want to say, ironically, COVID, I told you this, but I was like, ironically, COVID kind of helped the dating scene in a way. Some people are like, oh, it destroyed it. But I'm like, it kind of helped for certain people because one, everyone's bored inside. So it's easier to kind of identify with that. Like now you don't have to be embarrassed to say like, oh, I just stayed inside today. And she's like, oh, I went jet skiing. What the heck? And then stop talking to you. Like everyone's inside. And there's also, everyone is bored, so everyone wants to hang. Well, this could be just this one thing, but everyone kind of, it seems like they want to hang out, like, or are more inclined to than before, because everyone's desperate to, you know, do something, even if it's just something simple, like what I think you said in the podcast, where you're saying you just sat on a bench and like talked around this lake, even though that's like a typical kind of thing, but still, it's not something crazy like, I don't know, oh, I took her to this super restaurant, because all the restaurants are closed. So, you know, you're saving money, you're saving effort, you know, this is the best time right now. But yeah, that's it. That was a long podcast. That might be technically the longest podcast
that you've done. Yeah,
because this one, we went overtime and it went, because we might have been talking for collectively like almost 3 hours, almost like maybe 2.5 hours or something.
That is true, because we got on the phone about, actually, I think it's honestly been since 9 something. Let me see. We sent the first invite around, oh no, since like 8 pretty much.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, no, 7:30. Let me me see the time again. It was 7:47, so almost 3 hours. Dang. Yeah, you're right. That's crazy. This is the longest podcast.
Well, that means that's 4 weeks worth of podcast. Well, 3 weeks, because the next podcast is being uploaded tomorrow. Perfectly.
I helped you out, my friend.
Oh, and just before we end this, just to give a little plug, I heard someone, a disappointment, of course, but someone named Blake's is freaking making his own podcast. I heard it's the terribly named Blake's Podcast. I don't know what.
No, I never said that it was going to be named. That was a sample. I just wanted to get a feel for, I was going to say get a feel for tongue. I wanted to get a feel for Anchor to see what, you know, how it was. So I just said the first name that I could think of.
Barry changed that thing. It sounds like trash.
But I feel it's only right if you're the first guest that I have on Blake's podcast. Not Blake's podcast, but on a podcast. But it'll either be the first episode or the second. I think the first one should be just me, but, you know.
Yeah. Wait, what is it going to be about? So, you know, sneak preview for people who, so two people who might watch it, which means only zero. So it'd be just me watching it, because these people who watch my podcast don't even watch my podcast. So it's like unlucky, but still, for the future generation who will futurely watch this, what's your podcast gonna be about?
I haven't really gotten that far yet.
Okay. Well,
it's something to do with music for sure. I just really haven't necessarily found out the niche for it yet, so I'm still trying to, you know, work out the kinks, you know. You know, work out the little bugs.
This better not be like pun intended. 20 years from now, yeah, I'm still.
I'm still working at those kids.
What, do you at least have a name? Blake's Podcast?
Like, try.
Get out.
What's your podcast going to be about? Well, I don't want to lie to you.
Well, I guess that's it. So, viewers, everyone, I'm glad you are here in the future listening to this podcast. You know, vote for future me. If this is 12 years from now, vote for future me for president, 2032. The debates are the elections tomorrow in 2032. So, you know, go ahead and do it. It's for the better of the America.
Yep, I guess that's it.
I'm not voting. I'm just gonna already voted.
Good. Remember to vote, people.
Yeah, it's very important. You gotta exercise that right.
Every vote matters. That hive mind tactic is so important. People don't realize. Like, if, let's say Deontay, if I convince Deontay to vote, hive mind tactics, that means the fact that he's voting means that, let's just say, 10,000 other people were just convinced to vote. From the mere fact that I convinced Deontay to vote.
Blake.
Now, if Deontay doesn't vote,
Blake,
that means people like Deontay are Blake less likely to vote from the mere fact that Deontay didn't vote.
Blake.
So remember Blake. That. Remember that. High yeah. mind tactics, people.
If Blake votes, everybody should vote. Because anyway,
Blake is the law.
All right, my friend.
Yeah. I mean, if we make another podcast one day, I think we should talk about the story, the tragic story of the Black Arrow.
Hey, man, we got to give everybody the update.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. He was trapped in the best villain this world has ever seen. Trapped in limbo after killing that accidental grandma.
That it all went downhill since then. He finally won a match against the Dark Overlord, then killed the grandma, threw it all away.
The world cheered. And as they cheered, they stopped.
To the instant.
A whole 3 seconds.
He saved her! He killed her! I hate you!
Black Arrow turns around.
I hate you! Why did you kill her? Well, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, Jabari's wisdom, thank you for having me once again.
Of course.
Yes, be on the lookout for Of course. Be on the lookout for Inside Phantom's Mind. It's one of the working titles.
Ooh, what about Dante's?
No. No.
I hate that you didn't call me Dante for the longest time. I remember I had a substitute teacher before we go. I had a substitute. They saw my name. They said, Dante. I said, Deontay. And I lied to you, die. I had a substitute teacher. He had to have been dyslexic because he was taking roll. He got to my name, and all you hear is Tecante. The whole class looked at him, and then he looked at me and busted out laughing because they knew I was upset. I had the straightest face, and I said, do you see a T or a K in my name?
For me, I don't know how people don't ever mispronounce my first name. But somehow, if they're going to mispronounce it, it's always the last name.
They'll be like, and your last name is easy.
Yeah, they'll be like, Jabari Beard. And like, where did you ever, like... And they'll be like, bread? And like, where, like, how? How do you mess that up? There's four letters.
Yeah, if anything, like, and I understand the mess of Jabari.
Three out of the four letters look like the animal. How do you think that it's just for some reason Jabari Beard?
Especially if they watch your election video.
They would know. They would know how it's pronounced.
We needed a bird. You know, when I saw you do that, I was like, yep, he's fearless. He does not care about anybody's opinion. He's not gonna never do that. The arm motion had lead inside the side.
The awkward thing about that was that there were two people recording it. So there was like some student part of the news organization in the school, and then some random teacher. And I messed up two times. So I had to do it again.
The fact that you flap your wings like a bird and lean side to side as you're saying,
I had to go through with it. At that point, at that speech, I was like, I have to go all in.
It's all or nothing now.
Well, that was a good podcast.
It was. That was a good 2 podcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, technically a good 4 podcast.
Ooh, touche. Touche.
Well, hopefully the next time we meet again, it'll be another quality podcast. Old sport.
Oh, it sure will. I think one day we're going to have to treat the listeners, the whole one listener, to a little bit of us playing the violin.
Oh, yeah. And then you'll hear Deontay playing pretty well. And then you'll hear me playing for the first time in 4 years. And it'll be the worst thing you ever heard.
And we'll talk about how you did not want to loan me your violin so I could learn how to play.
Yeah, because I might pick it up one day.
Might. You're asking like I have to have it.
Get
out. Well, all right, old sport.
Yep, old sport. I'll see you later, old sport.
All right, old sport.